Was this an accident?
Previews of coming attractions.
Welcome back to Sunday Night in Cinema 3. Here's what's new in theaters this week. First up is Love, Simon, the adaptation of Becky Albertalli's wonderful young adult novel called Simon vs. the Homo Sapiens Agenda. It's a groundbreaking film in that it is the first to feature a gay protagonist in a kind of standard romantic comedy setting. My wife and I saw it last week in a preview screening, and we both loved it. It adapts the book very well, the leads are all beautiful, strong actors. The whole thing is just a pleasure to watch. It's a really special film, and I think it's going to be remembered by this generation in much the same way that millennials revere Mean Girls, or the way that my generation loves the John Hughes movies. It really is that good. And so my compliments to director Greg Berlanti and his cast and crew. Also new this week is another adaptation, this time of the recent updates to the Tomb Raider video game series. I have played and enjoyed one of them, so I'm interested in seeing the movie at some point. I suspect my son and I will catch it over the Easter weekend, along with Pacific Rim 2. And finally new in theaters this week is Max Winkler's dark comedy Flower, about a teenage girl played by Zoe Deutsch who has to cope with her mother's boyfriend and his son moving in. The boyfriend is played by Tim Heidecker, so you can imagine how that would be a challenge. And speaking of imagination, there's a new film in limited release called I Can Only Imagine, starring Trace Adkins and Dennis Quaid. It's a Christian film about a song by the same name that was apparently the top-selling Christian rock single of all time. The film essentially tells the story of the young man who wrote it and what inspired it and so on. Also in limited release is a film called 7 Days in Entebbe, starring Rosamund Pike, and it recounts the tale of an Air France hijacking in the 70s. That one sounds interesting to me. New on home video this week, it's a big week for Oscar nominees with the releases of Ferdinand, The Shape of Water, I, Tonya, The Disaster Artist, and Call Me by Your Name. Oh, and also the Justice League film came out. I haven't yet seen three of those, Ferdinand, I, Tonya, or The Disaster Artist, and while I would like to see them all eventually, probably streaming, I don't really have any interest in owning them. As you may recall from a recent episode of the podcast, I did like The Shape of Water, but I didn't love it, and I'm not interested in owning it. Call Me by Your Name, on the other hand, is one that I can easily imagine myself finding on Blu-ray a year or two from now while wandering through a Best Buy, trying to find something to spend a gift card on. I'll buy it then, to enjoy at home when I'm in the mood, and to listen to the commentary. Justice League, on the other hand, I doubt that I will ever want to watch again, much less hear a commentary.
Previously, on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
So 10 years ago this week, when I was writing the original Sunday Night in Cinema 3 blog, I saw a film called Vantage Point, with a good cast and an interesting premise that left me feeling kind of underwhelmed. If you haven't had the pleasure, it's an action thriller set in Spain about an attempt to assassinate the American president, played by Jeff Daniels. He's protected by a veteran Secret Service agent, played by Dennis Quaid, and a younger one, played by Matthew Fox. A CNN-style news crew covering the event is being produced by Sigourney Weaver, with Zoe Saldana in a small role as a reporter. Rounding out the cast are Forrest Whitaker as a tourist who tries to help a lost little girl, Edgar Ramirez as a guy who is blackmailed into helping the terrorists, Saeed Taghmoy, who was in Wonder Woman last year, sorry if I butchered your name, Saeed, and the great Israeli actress Eilat Zurer, and again, sorry if I butchered your name. The film was directed by Pete Travis, who seems to enjoy making suspense and action films. His resume includes the Judge Dredd film from a few years ago, and a fair amount of British television. The action sequences in Vantage Point are shot really well, and on their own they're edited well enough to follow. But where Vantage Point falls apart is its overall structure, which is also what gives it its title. Vantage Point is essentially a new version of Rashomon, which examines a terrible crime from multiple points of view. At first, it seems like a fresh use of this device, but as the movie goes on, it quickly loses its potency until it starts to actually get in the way. A film like Vantage Point really needs to take extra care to make sure that the audience is keeping up. It plants details that are ignored by one point of view that turn out to be very important from another. After spending half of its screen time setting the dominoes up, it spends the last half flailing at them with a baseball bat, instead of just letting them fall in a line. All of which might not be so bad if it wasn't possible to guess the identity of the would-be assassin well before the film decides to reveal it. Recently, when I was talking about Definitely Maybe, which also has a narrative structure that jumps around in perspective, I wondered if the novelty of the narrative device really contributed to that movie, and in my opinion, it didn't. This goes double for Vantage Point, and it's more important there too, since they felt the device was so important that they named the film after it. It does have some solid dramatic moments and solid performances, but the poor organization of the script, its late dependence on dubious technology, and failure to edit the large pieces together really lets them down.
Intermission.
As spring approaches, we're inching up to blockbuster season, with a few lesser lights like Ready Player One offered as tasters before Avengers Infinity War grabs the baton from Black Panther and tries to take that momentum into the summer. My son and I have gone to movies together for a decade now, he turned 16 in May, and it's become something we both enjoy. We tend to see the blockbusters, so I know I'll be going with him to see the Han Solo movie, the Jurassic World sequel, all of the Marvel movies, including Deadpool probably, definitely The Rock's new movie Skyscraper, and maybe The Incredibles 2. I can also be fairly certain that my wife will demand that we see the female-led reboot of the Ocean's Heist films, Ocean's 8, the sequel to The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, and the adaptation of the popular novel Crazy Rich Asians, starring Constance Wu. I will counter by demanding that we see The Meg, about a giant prehistoric shark, starring Jason Statham and Ruby Rose. An upcoming comedy with Melissa McCarthy called Life of the Party sounds like a good date movie, too. Apart from those, I'm interested in the sequel to Denis Villeneuve's film Sicario. I definitely won't be seeing Mission Impossible or any other Tom Cruise film in the theater, as long as he is in the employ of the Church of Scientology. I would also rather not see the sequel to Mamma Mia, because I hate ABBA, I hate jukebox musicals, and I hate life. But since I did see the original Mamma Mia 10 years ago for Cinema 3, maybe I will wind up seeing it eventually. May God have mercy on my soul. One film that I am intrigued by, just based on its writer and director, is called Eighth Grade, about a young American girl in eighth grade. She's spending her last week there after a terrible year and is anticipating going forward to high school. This could, of course, be a very harrowing thing to watch in anyone's hands, but since it's written and directed by the very talented and sometimes very dark comedian Bo Burnham, I suspect it's going to be a memorable film. Check out Bo Burnham's comedy specials on Netflix if you aren't familiar with this stuff. Finally, one film that I would like to put on your radar for the summer, called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, starring Joaquin Phoenix in a biography of the late cartoonist John Callahan. Callahan was physically disabled and a recovering alcoholic, and he explored both of these subjects extensively in his very funny and very dark single-panel humor comics. It's directed by Gus Van Sant, who's been developing it for a while, and originally had Robin Williams as Callahan. I ordinarily would steer clear of Hollywood films about a disabled person because they tend to be inspiration porn and emotionally manipulative garbage, but I trust Van Sant to have the same kind of unsentimentality that Callahan did, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. And actually, while I'm thinking of Gus Van Sant, if you're looking for a really good and really chilling film about the gun control issue in the U.S., check out his film Elephant, which was made in a high school with largely non-actors, about a school shooting. It's really quite a good piece of work, if you can find it.
And now, our feature presentation.
All right, and this week's pick for my DVD collection is another Hong Kong action picture. This one is called Accident. It stars Louis Koo and was directed by Soi Chiang. I picked it up last year at the clearance sale for one of Halifax's beloved local video stores, Video Difference. As you may recall, I have seen literally hundreds of Cantonese and Chinese films, and Louis Koo is one of my favorite actors from anywhere, which is why I picked this up. He has a tendency to play characters who are conflicted, or in the grip of some kind of inner turmoil, and this film is no exception. Accident is about an assassin whose specialty is in making a person's death look like an accident. This, of course, is not a new idea in the movies or in books by any means, but it's a good place to start in a film that is very thoughtful about its subject. Louis Koo has a team of assistants to help him achieve this, as they demonstrate in the opening scene of the film. After they successfully murder one of the heads of a triad gang, Louis gets a new assignment that involves an insurance agent who wants to murder his father, who's in a wheelchair. Louis takes the job and the team succeeds, but in a surprising twist, a bus swerves to avoid something and strikes one of Louis's assistants, killing him. Louis runs to his side, and with his last breath, the assistant, played by veteran actor Suet Lam, asks, "Was this an accident?" And Louis is not sure. He starts to think that someone has figured out his business and is now after him using the same method. He starts to become very secretive and careful, suspecting that the insurance agent and perhaps even his remaining team members are out to get him. The middle part of the film is where it really shines, bearing a lot of resemblance to the paranoid classic film The Conversation by Francis Ford Coppola. Louis rents an apartment in the same building as the insurance agent and starts to surveil him, planting audio bugs in his home and watching him while he's at work. As Louis gathers more evidence of what he thinks is true, he creates a perfect accident assassination scenario to bring the story to a head. And from here, it resembles more the regular Hong Kong formula picture than the brilliant unresolved ending of The Conversation, but that's okay. It is still a very compelling film and one of the top three that I've seen Louis Koo in. So if you enjoy Asian cinema, action films, or just the smoldering beauty that is Louis Koo, I highly recommend it. And if you enjoy films at all, you must watch The Conversation. It really doesn't get much better than that.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall, that's me, with much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/ScottMarshall. That's 2 T's, 2 L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.